It is indeed. Hi, everybody. How you doing? We're about to venture into some pretty strange territory, to be sure. Barbara Macbeth, normally accompanied by Brendan Cook, are both members of the Ghost Investigators Society, the GIS, if you will. The Ghost Investigators Society is a non-profit organization, means they don't make money, dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes that they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or those who are just simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, presented will help demonstrate that the consciousness, our consciousness, does survive after our body dies, and that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. And I would like to add here that over the years, I've investigated an awful lot of things that relate to ghostly phenomena, and I think that EVP is probably at the head of the list in things that convince me that this is absolutely as real as a heart attack. Now, I don't want you to have one, and some of what you're going to hear tonight is going to be kind of scary stuff. So, in a moment, Brendan Cook is not here. He's down, I understand, with a horrible case of the flu. I know about that. I'm just getting over my fourth bout with either flu or colds over here. But we do have Barbara Macbeth, and so she's going to, as a trooper, and the GIS are all troopers, stick with us for the next 3 hours of scary stuff. In a moment, EVP. All right, I think we're back. We are having additional ISDN difficulties here. We lost it, but very quickly got it redialed. So I think we're back in business. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing very shortly here, and parts of Luzon probably are already getting hit with a very, very, very large typhoon with winds of up to 295 kilometers. If you want to see it on the website, coasttocoastam.com, there's a map. You can click on it, make it larger, and see for yourself what is bearing down on us very quickly. Well, all right. I would like to attempt to welcome Barbara Macbeth of the GIS. Barbara, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, it's great to have you. I guess Brendan is what, down with the flu?
He called me at about 7 tonight, and he said, I'm sorry, but there is just no way I can do this tonight. He did come over here earlier today, and I hope I haven't caught it from him.
I hope not, too. I've been battling these viruses over here since my arrival, and I hope that I'm now sort of on the downside of the very last one. Mm. And anyway, Barbara, let's take a moment before we play anything and sort of let people know what we're doing. And by the way, the reference I made earlier to the live talk was the George Meeks stuff. I know you know all about that. I would recommend to anybody listening tonight that they go to the web and put in George Meeks.
Yes,
and
we have
read
that
all
on
about
our
it.
Website also that they
oh,
can
you do?
Link to it.
Okay. The Meeks experiment was incredible. It used electronics, and they had an ongoing discussion that'll raise the hair, I guarantee, on the back of your neck. It's a little hard to understand because it's an old recording, but oh my God, it's scary stuff. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I would not agree with it being scary.
Well, that's because you're used to hearing from the other side.
Yes, and I don't consider the other side scary.
I know you don't. Even when the EVPs we get are scary. Now, electronic voice phenomena is what, Barbara, by your definition?
Electronic voice phenomena is a voice that you do not hear at the time being recorded on either a tape recorder, a microcassette recorder, anything that records can record EVP. Many times they're very low. If you're if you don't have headphones, listening to them, sometimes, you know, they're so soft and low, you would not hear it at, when you're reviewing it.
All right. And so that the audience understands, the protocol that you use is very stringent. You only, if you're using tape, I know that you only use tape that has never been recorded on before, correct?
That's correct. It's too easy for the voices to bleed into each other, and so we always use new tapes, although now I have graduated to a microcassette recorder. But
digital or?
A digital.
Oh, congratulations. You finally made the jump, huh?
Well, only because I can't find a good microcassette.
I see. Well,
I can
there
afford
was a big, I know there was a big debate between yourself and Brendan about the advocacy of using digital recording, but it appears as though digital recording works just fine, number one.
It does work, and it's very clear. It's a lot clearer than the tapes.
Of course. Yeah, the noise floor is virtually non-existent with digital as compared to tape, and so you're always having to sort of dig it out of the tape noise because it is so low. But with digital, thank God, we eliminate a lot of the noise, and so what we hear is quite a bit clearer. And we've been doing this through the years since you began with tape. Now, another important thing for the audience to know is that you don't make money doing this, right?
That's correct. It costs us money to do this. And sometimes, you know, we drive long distances to go and conduct an investigation, and we're not reimbursed for any of the costs that we incur.
Anywhere from private residences to cemeteries to prisons to morticians' homes. Now, you sort of have always maintained, Barbara, that it doesn't. It's not that important to go to a cemetery or a place of that sort. And yet, almost all the places you go are places like that. How come?
Well, we go to locations that that have reported haunting or ghost activity. And those are the places that we seek out to go and record. You can record any time of the day. It can be daylight and get phenomenal voices.
Right. Another thing that I'd like to urge the audience to do is try it yourself. Whether it's digital or whether it's tape, it doesn't matter. Give this a try yourself. So many people in the audience over the years have taken my challenge up, or your challenge, and have gone out themselves, and I get these emails back, oh my God, I tried it and I got it. I really got something. So I guess you too would urge people to give it a shot, right?
Yes, and especially if they suspect that there's activity where they live or in their workplace, try it, you know, at that location and see if you can get a response. Most times they don't respond to direct questions. Some, you know, there have been occasions where we have recorded a voice coming back and answering a question that we have asked, but many times they'll just drop in on our conversation that when we're talking between ourselves. But the whole investigation, we are constantly inviting them to come and talk with us and to be with us.
Well, the implication of that would be that you feel that it is a consciousness capable of responding directly to what you say.
That's correct.
And yet a lot of the other ones appear not directed to you, but just sort of snatches of, oh, I don't know, a conversation or a feeling or something somebody says. Now, here's where we get to the part where I'm not sure what we're dealing with. Are these the voices of people who once lived and are now dead and are spirits on the other side? Are they voices of ghosts that are, you know, still, for some reason, trapped on this side? Or are we hearing really from the other side, from people in heaven or hell or another dimension? Or what do you think?
Well, this is my own opinion. But since we go to locations that do have reported haunting activity or ghost activity that people have experienced and witnessed, I believe that the voices that we record are voices of ghosts, and ghosts are the energy consciousness of someone who's lived and has had a body and has died and are still here on this plane with us.
Mm-hmm. Have all of these EVPs, Barbara, begun to, have they started to give you an insight into the nature of the other side?
Yes, I believe that the majority of ghosts that we have come in contact are not happy. I believe that how you are in life, that your attitude and your mental state does carry on with you after death, and that does not change just because you die.
Huh. That's really odd. All right, let's give everybody a sample of what they're going to be getting tonight. This first, I guess the first few we're going to have were done in some kind of private residence. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. There were two women that contacted us that were having activity in their home. They do practice Wiccan, and I do not, and Brendan also, well, the five GIS members believe that this is really not a ghost. We believe that it is something that has entered the home from the rituals and practices that these women, you know, conduct in their home.
In other words, you think they've opened some kind of door.
That's right. And it was something that was terrifying to them. They were scared, very uncomfortable. The type of activity that was going on was not the same type of activity that we have investigated in other locations that have ghost activity taking place.
Well, Barbara, when you open doors, things walk through, right?
Exactly. When you just kind of like the vampire thing, you know, when you invite something in, it might stay there longer than what you're wanting it to be there. And
well, after this experience, Barbara, were these gals prepared to give up what they were doing? Did it go that far with them? Were they that scared?
I don't know if it was if it's made them aware of the possibility that they've invited this kind of activity in their home. I don't think that they had really researched what they were practicing.
All right, tell me about cut one.
Well, this first one, I was conducting an interview with them, and the woman that I was talking to had the most physical type of activity against her. She had scratches on her and had been physically attacked, really.
Really?
And I was asking her, you're going to hear me say, and what is transpiring here, is it something that is fearful to you? And you will hear her respond, yes. And then this voice was recorded, I'll cut you.
I'll cut you. All right, let's see what we've got. Here we go.
And what is transpiring here, is it something that's fearful to you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure about I'll cut you. We're going to listen to this again.
Now that's what Brendan hears, is I'll cut you. I hear I'll catch you.
Either way. And it also appears or sounds like it's a voice of a child. What do you think?
Yes, it sounds like a child, but I believe, in fact, the voices that we recorded at that location that night were some children, some adult men, some sounded like an old woman, but I think it was one entity.
All right, here we go again.
And what is transpiring here? Is it something that's fearful to you?
Yes.
All right, that could easily have been I'll catch you. So I'll either catch you or cut you, but either way, a moment ago you said these things are not fearful to you. Now, I'll catch you or I'll cut you, even more so. How can that not be fearful, Barbara?
Well, it is fearful. If you were having physical harm caused to you, like the scratches that she had, that would be fearful. I'm not stupid. But as far as ghost activity, just typical ghost activity taking place, I have never heard of anything being physically harmful to people. It's usually people's fear that will cause them harm. And how they interpret the activity that's taking place.
Well, you and I disagree. We absolutely disagree. I mean, this scares the hell out of me, and cut two is going to prove that from my point of view.
Well, like I said, I do not believe that these were ghosts in these ladies' home.
You think they were?
I think that they had called something into their home that was causing the havoc that they were experiencing.
But you said not a ghost. You think it was what then?
I think it's the type of thing that causes possession. That type of entities that come to people when they're conducting seances or using a Ouija board, which I have been involved in my past.
As have I. I don't like Ouija boards.
Most people will have a lot of trouble. And the thing that irritates me the most about the Ouija board is that it's promoted as a game, and it is not a game.
All right. Again, the same two ladies. Now, we'll let the audience judge for themselves, but this was what? Still part of the conversation, the interview you were having with these ladies?
Yes. Brendan and Jenny had gone downstairs and was recording on Brendan's laptop. And Brendan asked the question while they were down in the basement, because the women were scared of the basement. They did not like it down there, the feeling down there. They said they would go down to do laundry and go right back up as fast as they could. You're going to hear Brendan say, "Did you scratch that lady? Why would you do that?" And the response he recorded, it sounds like, "To cause her pain."
To cause her pain. All right, we're going to hold that. No, let's go ahead and do it right now. Here we go.
Did you scratch that lady? Why would you do that?
You know, clearly that said, or fairly clearly anyway, to cause her pain. That is nasty. That is scary. That is everything that I said that it was, in my opinion. Here it is one more time. Come on, one more time.
Did you scratch that lady? Why would you do that?
Okay, there you've got it. To cause her pain. Now, that goes to motive. That goes to all kinds of things. I wonder if this is not a ghost. After all, it's a voice just like all the others.
That's correct. That is correct.
But the only reason you classify it differently than you do the others is because, well, you had knowledge that these ladies were into Wicca and perhaps opening doors they ought not open. But who's to say that there's any difference at all between what we're hearing right here, which is obviously a negative kind of thing, and whatever you might classify as a ghost? I don't get it.
Well, this is my own belief, just from the research and that I've conducted over 50 years. I believe that there are different types of entities, and although some of the activity that happens in different situations, whether it be ghost or demonic, evil spirit type of things, the results can seem similar, and I think people have a tendency to confuse them.
I see. All right. Barbara Macbeth from the GIS is with us this night. We're about to take a break, and we're going to be hearing these voices all night long. Don't forget, coming up this Wednesday, for me Wednesday, Ghost to Ghost AM. I'm Art Bell. You are indeed. Good morning, everybody, afternoon or evening, whatever the case is, wherever you are. We have Barbara Macbeth from the Ghost Investigator Society, and we're playing EVPs for you. Now, I know they don't scare Barbara, but they do scare me. And reading ahead, I can tell you there's some pretty scary stuff here. Don't forget, we're doing a Ghost to Ghost AM coming up for Halloween. Actually, in America, I think it's going to be Tuesday. I know that it'll be Wednesday here in the Philippines as we do it. So I'm getting ready for that. If you've got a good ghost story, develop it. Put a little outline on paper. That frequently helps if you've got a really good one, so that if you happen to freeze a little bit when you get on the air, that outline will be there to support you in telling your story. It's a great way to do it. In a moment, we'll get back to Barbara Macbeth and electronic voice phenomena. Once again, Barbara Macbeth. Barbara, welcome back. And I think we're about to leave the residence of the two young ladies toying with a craft and move to a mausoleum or something. Is that correct?
That's correct. This mausoleum, we've been conducting investigations and research there for several years. And the employees have experienced a number of experiences there at this location, plus people that go to bring flowers into the mausoleum to their loved ones have also experienced ghost phenomena inside this place.
Huh. It's got to be creepy going to a mausoleum anyway. I guess not for you. You've hardened yourself to the point where these places just don't affect you?
Well, I can remember the first time I went into this location. It was kind of overwhelming just because of the amount of bodies that are located inside. Mm-hmm. And people's mementos to their loved ones. It's very sad in there to me.
Sad. Okay. All right. Let's deal with the first one from the mausoleum. What have we got here?
On this one, my husband and GIS member, Roger, had just stated, you won't hear this on this clip, but he had just stated, don't let our lights bother you, they won't hurt you, referring to the flash of the cameras and the infrared and the flashlights, because we wander around in there in the dark. Mm-hmm. And he recorded this voice that responded right after he had said that, our death gate. And you'll notice in this clip, it echoes. This voice actually echoes.
In the mausoleum?
In the mausoleum. Our voices echo in the mausoleum just because of all the marble, the floor.
And these voices do as well. Now, see?
I think that that's a really interesting aspect of this voice.
Okay, here it comes. Isn't that interesting? I can definitely hear our death, but I'm not sure about gate. And it also sounds like it's being whispered.
Yes, but it was loud, though, also. I mean, it does sound whispery, but it was not a whispery voice. It was just as loud as ours.
All right, let's try it again. Here it is again, folks. I don't like that, Barbara.
Oh, that's one of my favorite ones, just because.
No, I meant it scares me. There's just something about the I don't even know what words to use, but there's something about the way it sounds that I don't like. It's scary.
Well, we really don't mean to scare people. We are merely presenting what we have recorded.
And I think
that is not our intent to scare.
Yeah. Well, it's the effect, though. And I think that what you're doing is important work. I think, though, that I have a very different view of it than you do. For one thing, if that's the other side, if these indeed are the voices of the dead, and I can't imagine they're anything else, Barbara, then I'm not so wild about the other side. I mean, it just is not that it doesn't sound that appealing, to be honest with you. When I think of heaven, I think of the traditional clouds and angels.
It's
and
almost a childlike view, though, Art. I mean,
intense joy, oneness with the universe, if you want to get a little more sophisticated with it, but not what we're hearing here.
I believe that the things that you're hearing, these voices, to me, they're almost like they don't realize they're dead, or they have not finished business that needed to be done in their life before the death took place. But some of them are very kind and sweet.
Mm-hmm. Some of them, but not too many of them. I would have to guess. Now, maybe you bring the scarier ones to me, or the darker ones, because you know that I kind of like those. Or is what we've got here just typical of what you get?
These are typical of what we get.
Mm-hmm. See, that makes the other side not sound so quite so appealing, as far as I'm concerned.
I think a lot of the times it's, I've analyzed this in my head a dozen different ways. I think a lot of times, and you can just look at the people that you pass by and know in your daily life, a lot of people do not have a firm theological belief to set them firm, where they feel confident in who they are, what they are, what they mm-hmm. stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with how a person's mental attitude is.
By the way, for the sake of the audience, I think you're in Utah, right?
We're in Utah, yes.
You're in Utah, okay.
And I think a lot of people don't have something stable in their lives to give a firm foundation to them.
All right. Once again, let's move on. We're still in the mausoleum, right?
Yes, that's correct. This one is one of my favorites. You're going to hear Brendan. He was going down the stairs to the basement in the mausoleum. He was by himself. You're going to hear him fall, and his tape recorder goes flying out of his hands. And this woman that he recorded, she is so, you can hear the concern in her voice, very, very strong, her concern, and she asks, "Are you okay?"
Uh-huh. All right, here we go.
Damn it.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That one is really something. So here we have Brendan clearly not just falling, but falling down some stairs in a mausoleum. You can hear him say, "Damn it." And that's the least of what I would have said. And then you can so clearly hear this woman's voice asking if he's okay. One more time.
Damn it.
Man,
I love that one. Just because.
Well, I can imagine
concern.
You would, because it shows concern.
Yes, obviously she was close to the microphone where it landed, because she was so loud. Brendan didn't hear that at the time, but you can really hear her concern come through her question.
What happens, folks, is they have hours of recording at any given location, and then they, I guess, take the recorders back to a location where all the members, or as many as you can get of the GIS, sit down and listen to hours of these, looking for these voices. Is that about right?
That's correct. And if you're on an investigation for 2 or 3 hours, you have at least 2 or 3 hours of audio to review. Plus, if there's any video, you have another 2 or 3 hours. It's very time-consuming.
I want to tell the audience again, you doubt this? You think this isn't real? Take a recorder. Go try it yourself. We've had hundreds, thousands of people do that over the years, and they get recordings more times than not. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get one every time, or you may get many. But there's a very good chance that if you want to try, if you have the guts to go try this yourself, you're going to get something, right?
That's correct. And, you know, if you don't get anything the first time you try it, don't be discouraged, because we go to locations where we have recorded ghost activity, ghost voices, and we can go back the very same night and not get a thing. And I don't know what the conditions are. We have never been able to correlate it with full moon, weather, time of day. So I don't know what the conditions are. But if you know of a location that does have reported haunting activity, take a recorder to that location and give it a try and see what you get.
All right, one more time.
Damn it!
I had to do that. I like that one too,
That's
Barbara.
My very favorite. We have
maybe because
that.
It's so clear.
And maybe so. I just love how you can hear her concern in her voice.
Uh huh. This is something that you and I have talked about over the years so many times, but we'll bring it up again. More times than not, for some reason, these appear to be the voices of children.
Yes, we record many children.
Disproportionately,
yes.
Children. Now, do you have what's your best theory about why that would be? Because after all, many more, I mean, by percentage, certainly more older people pass on than younger.
That's true. I'm hoping, and I cannot stress hoping enough, that it might be possibly the state of mind of that person, of that ghost. A lot of times, some of our happiest times are in childhood.
That certainly is true. All right, we have one more from the mausoleum. Then we will leave the mausoleum and go to another happy little cemetery. All right, so one more from the mausoleum. What is this one we're about to hear?
This one, we had been on this investigation in the mausoleum, and we had been in there for a couple of hours, so we decided to go outside and take a break. And we left our equipment running inside. And you're going to hear us walking out, and I, as I'm leaving, I say, we invite anyone to speak with us. We invite you to tell us your name and talk with us. I hope you'll introduce yourself. I'm Barbara. And after the door closes, you will hear a woman laughing.
A woman laughing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think she was laughing at what I said.
Here we go.
We invite anyone to speak with us.
You want to throw your name and talk with us if you introduce yourself. Oh my God. You certainly can hear it. It's hard to hear. It's pretty far down in the noise, but listen very carefully, folks, and you can hear, again, to me, what sounds like perhaps a child's voice or a young voice, because it's very high-pitched. Listen.
We
Okay, that really, again, sounds like a young voice to me, simply because the pitch is so high, Barbara.
Yeah, it's either a woman or a young woman or a child. It sounds female to me.
Uh-huh. So, again, it's your view that as we are in this life, we are on that side, or at least what... And again, let's delineate, if we can, a little bit. Is it your view that what we're hearing are people that have not yet moved on to their ultimate destination? In other words, to what we would consider to be heaven or, I don't know, whatever, but they're still here on Earth?
Yes, I believe that. I don't believe everybody stays as a ghost, but I think the ones that are around that people experience... are still in this realm. They're the ones that can make sounds appear when there's no logical explanation for footstep sounds going down a hallway, doors opening and closing by themselves, knocking a picture frame over.
Now, as you well know, they made a movie fairly recently about all of this called White Noise. What was your reaction to that movie, Barbara?
Well, it was supposed to be about EVP, and it really wasn't. And how they portrayed the entities in there, if they were supposed to be ghosts, I didn't like it.
Mm.
I did not like that movie.
I guess I kind of had the same reaction. Of course, you know, they were trying to produce a scary movie, and they certainly did that. But you didn't, I guess you felt it wasn't fair to EVP, huh?
It was not fair to EVP. What they were using like white noise off of a television, I believe, most of the time.
Right, right.
And that is not EVP.
That's not to say that EVP cannot appear as part of white noise, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
In fact, that was kind of the Meek's approach to it, to
yeah.
To give the entity something to actually modulate.
Right. But... I can't remember the term of it now. If Brendan was here, he could tell you, but he's more the tech guy,
mm-hmm.
You know.
All right. All right. So now we leave the mausoleum, and we're going to a cemetery. Where is this cemetery?
This is a old Pioneer Cemetery north of our location. It's up in northern Utah. I actually had a sheriff tell me about this location, things that have been witnessed there by the townspeople, and he was the one that told me about this. In fact, there's been occasions when we've been in this cemetery where it's a very small town. We've had the whole sheriff department, fire department, forest ranger guys. I think the whole town has been in there some nights with us.
Okay. I think we've got time to squeeze the first one in from the cemetery. So... here you are in the cemetery, and what are we about to hear?
Well, this was in the middle of winter, and when we go to cemeteries, we take our lawn chairs and blankets and sit there. And me and Jenny were wrapped up sitting on our lawn chairs with a wool blanket around us, trying to keep warm. And you're going to hear Jenny ask me, did you just pull down the blanket? And I responded, no. And you're going to hear a child's voice say, I did. And then Jenny said, did you feel like a tug? And I said, no. I never did feel anything with the blanket. But this was probably about 1:30 in the morning when we recorded this one.
A GIS-style picnic, 1:30 in the morning in the middle of a cemetery. Okay, here we go. Listen carefully.
Did you just pull in the blanket?
No.
Did you feel like a tug?
No.
I did. Now this
it was the I did part that was
right.
The voice from the other side, right?
And
that was
like
clearly
a
child's voice. All right. After the break, we'll play that one again for you. Again, I'm chilled by the fact that there are so many child's voices involved in all of this. We're listening to the Ghost Investigator Society latest. And by the way, you can get historical GIS recordings on their website. We'll tell you all about it.